Running fans, welcome back to the show. This is the Traxler podcast and we are here for the final episode of 2024. We are going to talk all things Telford, Ribble Valley, and we're also going to talk all things Christmas as well because it's the time to be festive. This episode is brought to you by Saw Running and I'm joined by my co-host Rosie. First of all, Rosie, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
And a Happy New Year.
Yeah.
Have you said it to anyone in a shop yet? Have you bought something and gone, Merry Christmas?
I have actually, and I said Happy New Year, yeah. And they looked at me like I was mad.
I said it once, and it was this week, the week before, I went to say it, but I was like, it's too early.
Well, that's the thing.
Didn't feel right.
I think that's why they looked at me like I was crazy, because it was the week just gone, and I was, oh, Merry Christmas, have a good New Year, and they looked at me like, sure.
Yeah, all right. Too early.
So I've got a month till that.
Do you feel Christmassy? Because we've got a bit of tinsel.
I mean, this is making me feel very festive.
Yeah.
I think there's been points where I have, because I thought, oh, I was really looking forward to Christmas.
And you're wearing red.
I am. See, I'm like Santa.
You're basically St. Nicholas.
I am.
Yeah.
And your gift is just my presence.
Thanks. I love that. I was going to wear a Santa hat, but Saw don't stock Santa hats. So I couldn't.
Maybe
wear
something for them for next year.
Yeah. If you're listening, Rob, then Santa hats is needed in the winter drop. but on the show, we're also going to talk about Sports Personality of the Year, which was literally last night.
Yeah.
We were chatting about it off air. I love Spotty.
It's part of like my childhood. Yeah.
I always, it's like the last thing before Christmas.
Yeah.
It was always like winner of X Factor, Sports Personality, Christmas.
See,
and
I'm celebrity a celeb.
And I'm a celebrity, get me out of it.
Yeah, I'm a celeb. That's the run up to Christmas.
Yes.
That started. Spotty comes on, it's Christmas when Spotty happens. And it got to about 8:30 last night. I was like, oh my God. Put it on, stick it on.
Yeah, it's the absolute culture.
Yeah, I was too busy tapping away on getting my work done. Oh my God.
Prepping for the pod.
What can I say?
Love it, love
it. Mine never stops.
So, yeah, we're going to kick things off with Sports Personality. Then we're going to talk about Telford 10K, which was last weekend. One of the best 10Ks in the whole of the UK. It's always known for fast times, and this year was no different. We had a course record on the men's side. We're going to talk about the Top Flight finale in the series, which is the Ribble Valley 10K. That's happening very, very soon, just after Christmas. And then we've got our Christmas wish list that we'll run through, and then we'll talk a little bit about Christmas training. But we'll kick things off, Rosie, with Sports Personality of the Year. Obviously, there's an array of awards. I caught the second half of it, but I did sort of recap some of the award winners. Obviously, the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yes.
Mark Cavendish.
Yes.
That was nice. I liked
that. Absolutely.
That was good to see. And Chris Boy was on the stage as well.
Yes. And that was really nice. Yeah, he presented us the main award as well, which I thought was absolutely lovely.
What a legend.
Yeah.
But let's talk athletics because I don't know about you. Obviously, like, if we go back over the years, athletics has had a bit of a rough time when it comes to sports personality.
It has.
It's always kind of been overlooked with some of the other major sports that have got bigger viewership numbers. Mo Farah was the last athlete to win it in 2017. Kelly Holmes was the last female track athlete to win it in 2004, I think. 2004?
Yeah, something
makes
like
sense,
that.
Because
that's
when she won double. But we didn't just win one. We won two. Talk me through Coach of the Year.
So Coach of the Year, I think, I never had a doubt that would go to the M11 track club, because they're doing some fantastic stuff.
Well,
and I think Jenny and Trevor have picked up pretty much every award under the sun this year. Everything they've been nominated for, they've won.
World Athletics Coach of the Year?
I think World Athletics. Yeah. They've got the England Athletics Hall of Fame Award.
Yeah.
And about three other different Coaches of the Year that was incorporated into that as well.
Incredible.
They have taken on pretty much the entire world when it comes to Coach of the Year. And when you look at the athletes they are churning out of that group, it's not surprising because obviously the spotlight is on Keely, but there's so many others in there as well that are having a fantastic time. George Bell, for one of them, we spoke about her, I think, in our first episode, and how well she's doing. And, the strength and depth that they've got and clearly the atmosphere that they're cultivating is just fantastic. So I was, there was never a doubt in my mind that they would win it, but also I was so glad to see that they did because it is really deserved.
Yeah, they had tough competition from, obviously, we had rugby coaches on the men's side, the Wigan's rugby coach, and then obviously, like, Gareth Southgate. That's always, when the England men's football coach is in there, it's difficult to win because, like, it's such a cultural thing in the whole of the nation.
Yeah, I thought that was the only kind of thing that I thought, maybe Southgate might win it, but then I kind of put it into perspective and I thought, well,
he didn't win, did he?
He didn't win. That's the thing, is they said a glorious final.
Yeah.
And I was like, well,
not that great. Basically,
was it?
We lost.
We lost. There was no glory.
No, it didn't feel good at the time.
No. And whilst I appreciate he has done a fantastic job and is as deserving of the award as several others, I do think it was the right call to give it to Trevor and Jenny, 100%.
So, obviously, Coach Trevor and Jenny, they took the award. They had three medals in Paris. They had, obviously, Keely took the win in the 800 metres. Georgia took the silver in the 1500, and then they had Lewis Davey in the 4x4 as well. So they cleaned up, which is pretty unheard of. I think the only sort of thing I can remember from a coaching standpoint was Sha'Carri Richardson's coach, who had three sprinters in the women's 100. Didn't win three medals, but had three athletes there. Which was incredible in its own right. But yes, well done to Trevor Painter and Jenny Meadows, you absolute legends. And then obviously onto the main award. We were saying off air that I didn't realise people were saying on Twitter, on X after saying that Keely was a favourite. But it's massive to beat certain sports.
It is.
Football,
yeah.
Cricket, darts. The numbers that people watch that are massive.
Absolutely huge.
Compared to athletics.
I think we often find ourselves in a bit of a bubble. Sometimes I find it hard to quantify just how big athletics is to the wider community because it's my whole life.
Yeah.
But when you look at things like football, like darts, like cricket, I just thought we don't stand a chance because I think Healy's great. I think she should have won the award. I'm really glad she did. But I wasn't expecting the wider population to kind of recognise the magnitude of her dominance.
Yeah, too right, yeah.
And I think that was what was going to hold her back because obviously that one's a vote, it's not a panel. So I wasn't expecting her to be up there. So I was really, really glad that actually the kind of awareness of athletics and just the achievements that Keely has managed to kind of lay down in the last year or so. Yeah, it was so deserved and it was the right outcome, I think.
Three women winners in a row now.
Yeah.
Which is amazing. Yeah, you had, was it Mary Earps last year?
Mary Earps last year.
And I can't remember the year before. I didn't look, but someone said online that it was three in a row. Obviously, what came with Keely winning was some savage comments on social media of like football fans and darts fans and pub goers saying what a waste of time and it's
of course.
And Jude Bellingham, Real Madrid fans probably were crying in their sleep. Yeah. But anyway, massive, massive well done to Keely Hodgkinson and her whole team because it takes an army for Keely to achieve what she's achieved. Did you see her post after the video?
I saw the her thing about, I guess we'll never know, about not winning. What's it like
Savage.
To not win? Yeah, I thought that
Savage.
Was absolutely hilarious.
Unbelievable. And hopefully she's woken up today with a hangover because she deserved a bev.
Yeah, she had deserved a great night and hopefully them and the whole M11 track club had a wonderful time.
Yeah, hopefully they had a party for sure. So moving on, Telford 10K, which was last weekend.
Yeah.
So for anyone that's watching that has no idea what that is, obviously it's 10K road race in Telford. It's been going for years and years. It's a local club, Telford AC, that run it all with volunteers. Incredible people bring it together. It is one of the fastest, if not the fastest 10K in the whole of the UK. It's a super flat course and it's renowned for fast times. It's a savage course. It's so competitive. It's like the Liverpool cross country of 10Ks on the road. It's incredibly competitive. And last year we were sort of rewarded with some incredible performance, and this year it went one better. From the women's side, Rosie, I do have the first three, but I do have a interesting potential question. Sarah Astin was put down as the winner.
Yeah.
32:43. Natasha Phillips second, 32:56. And then Atsede Gidai, 32:58. They were your top three. Did you see the whole Amelia Quirk
fiasco? I did. And
do you know much about it?
Yeah, well, I was going to ask where you kind of stood on this, because obviously Amelia Quirk went in wave one.
Right, so she was a different race.
So she was in a different heat, essentially.
Gotcha.
So... And the England Athletics rules basically state if she wanted to be part of the the England 10K race, the champs was incorporated into it, she would have had to go in wave two.
Gotcha.
So that she was racing with the other women.
Right.
She obviously ran the quickest time of the day. So on the amalgamated results, Amelia Quirk was the winner, essentially. But she wasn't the winner of the champs because she was in the different heat. She was in wave one.
So she would have been in the men's race, the first men's race.
Yeah.
And then, oh, okay, right. And then Sarah would have been in the second race.
Yeah. So
which
that's
is still a competitive race.
Like, yeah. Oh, hugely.
Yeah.
Definitely. Okay. So that's where the discrepancy lies. And there's a bit of controversy about whether the rules are right, whether Amelia Quirk should have been allowed to race in wave one.
It's not the first time it's happened.
No.
Like, people have, like, women have done that before. And, like, I can understand, like, if you're going for a time and you're not really bothered about winning.
It depends what your priorities are. If Amelia Quirk's gone for a time and a target as opposed to winning a champs, then that's what she's gone for.
Doesn't want a
and
tactical her, race, maybe.
It's her priority. If she wants to focus purely on her splits and on pacing, it was the right move for her. If she wanted to be in the champs, then maybe there's been an oversight in something.
Did she have a tough day at Liverpool?
I actually can't remember where she finished in Liverpool.
I feel like I saw an Instagram post saying that she had a difficult day. So maybe she thought, you know what, I'm just going to roll a quick one.
And see what we can knock out. So I think she's in decent shape at the moment.
Yeah, clearly.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure.
Well, yeah.
That is fast.
So she's, moving well for sure. It's just an interesting one. And I would like to, I'd be interested to know how much of that was her decision, whether the organisers kind of just did it and she went along with it, or was it her saying, actually, I want to be put in the wave, cause that first wave, because I'm going for a time, not a race.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think that's the difference there.
Crazy fast.
Yeah, bit of discrepancy and bit of controversy, but yeah, that's essentially why.
But massive run from Sarah Aston, ultimately. Absolutely. She took the win. She's England champion. And, you know, she's now Hoka sponsored with Andy Hobdall and paying dividends with that hard work in that group. I'm just about to flick over to the men's side of things. So that we can, I want to look at the stats. Here we go. So, in the men's race, we had a course record.
Yep.
Jack Rowe, 28 minutes and 2 seconds.
Yeah.
I mean, he's been out in Kenya training hard. He's come back from altitude and he's rolled a fast one there. He would have been gutted not to go sub 28. I know that, but he beat Phil Sessman, marathon Olympian.
Yeah, comfortably.
28:28, and then Kadar Omar, 28:34. They were your first three. And then a slight gap back to the rest of the field. But I'm just having a look here how many men went sub 30. So I've got to go page 2.
Wow. A lot went sub 30. 56. Over
50,
yeah.
56 runners went sub 30 minutes. I know that Oscar Bell, who was 12th on the day, ran 29:20.
Mm-hmm.
And he went through 5K in 14:20. So that's 28:40 pace. So his second half was 15 minutes compared to 14:20 first half. And I ran Telford years ago, 2017, and my first 5K was PB. But it weren't like, I didn't feel like I was racing at 5K pace. It's just one of those races where, because the path is quite narrow, you're only about 2 or 3 wide.
Yeah.
So you just get swept into this, it's almost like a wind tunnel.
Yeah.
And you're just absolutely flying. Because it's not the fastest of surfaces. It can get a bit leafy and a little bit muddy sometimes. But so fast, that men's race.
Yeah, well, I mean, when you look at the splits, if we look at Jack Rowe, his 5K split was 14:01.
Wow. Mm-hmm. So literally even pace.
Look at that, yeah.
That
bang
is
on.
So impressive. 14:01. I mean, that would win pretty much, that would win most domestic 5K road races.
Yeah.
It'd only be sort of Armagh or maybe mid-Cheshire that would go 13:50, 13:40 odd. But that is incredible.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Wow.
So,
what a beast.
Not only is it championship record, 30 seconds off the previous best, all of that sort of, yeah.
What's the British road record?
Oh, I don't know off the top of my head.
Because I heard a rumour that he might have been going for it.
He can't be far away.
Oh, I know what it is. It's 27:45 or something like that.
Right.
British 10K road record. I think it's 27:45. Here we go. Trusty Wikipedia. Never wrong, is it? This is
as if Wiki would be wrong.
I know, legit. 10K. Okay. Oh, hang on. There's a few discrepancies here. I mean, there's a few times on here, but Emil Caress and Mo Farah have got the equal record, 27:44. Well, he went far off, was he? On a wet day in Telford.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
He's moving well.
That's super strong. That's really good. Really, really good.
Pretty textbook, really, from Jack Rowe when you look at that.
Apparently he's doing a marathon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I didn't catch which one he was doing, but he said it in 2 interviews now. He said it after in 1 interview that he's training for his first marathon, but I don't know if he dropped which one he's doing. Mm. I would probably predict it'd be London.
Yeah.
But I spoke to him before he went to Kenya, and... Oh, actually, when he sat down, I had lunch with him, and he said he's doing a long build-up to the marathon. So I don't think it would be at London, because that's in April.
Yeah.
Maybe it would be at Berlin.
Autumn. Yeah.
So, but yeah, he said to me then that he was going to have a long build up to the marathon just so that he's sensible. I don't know. We'll have to wait and see. But yeah, Jack Rowe is in filthy shape. And good run from Phil Sessman as well. That's a big run.
Yeah. Yeah, some huge results coming out of there. But as well, if we look at the fourth place, that was Aaron Gabramayam, the under 20.
Oh, yeah. Commentated him in that 1500. I think we commentated it, didn't we?
Yeah.
And he ran it like really strangely.
Yeah.
Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. So,
yeah, he's a great athlete.
He's going to be really interesting to watch over the next few years. He won pretty much everything he entered over the summer.
Yeah, I think he got down to like low 340 in the 1500. He's a super talent. Is he Birchfield? these Birchfield Harriers?
I don't know off the top of my head.
Yeah, Birchfield.
I think so.
An era trier.
But yeah, it was his first recorded 10K. So PB for him, 28:58 or something similar. English schools track and field champion, cross-country champion and intercounties champion.
He took all the honours.
Yeah, he's going to be one to keep an eye on over the winter. And I can't wait to see what he does in the next however many years. Really. He's only an under 20, so he's plenty of time ahead of him to see where he goes next.
Further down in the field, 19th, was another under 20. He was a triathlete, Solomon Okrafo Smart. He won the podium underground 2 years ago. Not this year, the year before. And then at podium recently, which was the fast 5K podium event recently?
Barraford.
He ran sub 14 there.
Ooh.
And he's an under 20 and he's a triathlete.
Wow.
He's a GB triathlete. So, crazy talent. But yeah, some of the athletes here, it was kind of a rerun of Liverpool for a lot of it, like a lot of athletes. Like even Joseph Tuffin, who ran the short course, ran 29:14. That's range, that is. You know what I mean? His coach, Jeffro McGraw, was buzzing with that because, like, he's a 1500-meter runner. He's run 29:14.
That's crazy.
That bodes well for his next 1500 season.
Yeah, it certainly does.
I mean, I don't even know where the next 1500-meter runner is, but no one near him. Sticking with 10Ks, we're getting to the end of the year now. There's not really a lot going on. We've got a 5-miler. What's the date today? It's
the
18th, yeah. There's a Friday night, there's a 5-miler in Battersea Park, the Friday night under the lights crew. That's a quick one. There's some good athletes lined up in that. But the biggest race of December beyond Telford is always Ribble Valley 10K. It's the last one of the year. It's generally fast. We had course record last year with Mark Scott and Emil Caress battling it out. Jess Judd, she has the women's course record. Jessica Warner Judd, should I say. And this year, it's touted as the Ribble Valley Olympics. That's what the guys are calling it in Top Flight HQ because it is stacked. Should we kick things off with the women's preview?
Yeah, let's do it.
We've got course record holder and winner from last year, Jessica Warner Judd. She's coming back to defend her title.
Yeah.
I think she's going, I think she's confident. I think she's trained hard for this race. She's actually number one in the UK at the moment for 10K, 30:38. Yeah.
That was ran in January, wasn't it? Mm. I'll be interested to see how she goes. She ran, actually, at the National Cross Relay. She had a great time. I remember talking to her afterwards, and she was basically saying she was just so pleased to be out racing and enjoying it, not worried about any pressure, because obviously she had quite a difficult summer.
Yeah, did, yeah, yeah.
So I think it'll be really interesting to see how she's kind of moved from the start of November, 6 weeks or so in between the two races.
She was
weeks.
Ninth at Liverpool. That was a good run.
Yeah, really good run.
That's a strong run because the eight in front of her are incredible.
Yeah, exactly. And I think she put on her Instagram saying she was really pleased to come away with that and know that there was more, and like she was pleased almost to be disappointed with it.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah, another sort of like tick box.
Yeah.
Stepping stone.
There's more to come from her still. So really excited to see how that goes for her, because I think she deserves a bit more success. She's a real grafter, isn't she? Jess Warner Judd. So yeah, it'd be lovely to see that go well for her on the day.
Lauren Hayes is running from Hallamshire. She has run 32:21, so quite a lot slower than Jessica Warner Judd, but she has run 15:22 this year for 5K. So that is some serious speed in the legs.
Yeah.
I think she could rewrite her PB by quite a lot if she runs this correctly. So Lauren Hayes is obviously one of the leading entries. And then one of the interesting entries before we run through the rest of the women is Philly Bowden. She was supposed to be running Telford.
Yeah.
But she put on Instagram that she had a niggle that wouldn't go away.
Mm-hmm.
I can't remember what the injury was. But yeah, Can Telford didn't run that. She's then got an entry to Ribble Valley. So, it's not too much of an adjustment.
Yeah.
She, obviously, more known for her marathon running. She ran the Berlin Marathon in 2:25. Was 15th there, which was amazing. And she's had PBs in 2024 across the 3K, the 5K, the 10K. The half marathon and the marathon. The only one she didn't PB this year was the 1500 metres.
I think she's had a great year, hasn't she? I think, I really like Philly. I think the work she does on social media is great anyway.
Yeah.
And I love how transparent she is. But also the vibe you get from her, if you see her at a race, is just fantastic.
Yeah.
And
she's class.
I've really enjoyed seeing that kind of range from her this year. I think it's been absolutely fantastic. I think I did must have been a 5K at a BMC in Watford. I was doing the announcing for it, and I was able to commentate her coming over the line, basically. Nice. And that was...
She won that, right?
Yeah, she ran it superbly. Her tactics were fantastic for her to take the win. She looked as if she was out of it with probably 3 or 4 laps to go, and just gradually wound up the whole way through.
Mm.
And ended up with a huge lead in the last lap. It was, yeah, absolute masterclass. Exactly.
Did you beat Alex Millard?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
it was a great race, that was. Because I remember having her on my notes thinking, oh, watch out for her, but it'll probably be kind of second, third.
Yeah, yeah.
And she just, yeah, absolutely. Yeah, fantastic. So I'm excited to see how she goes, because she clearly has got some very, very smart racing tactics. She's clearly a good racer, and that range, it's never going to be a bad thing. So I'm excited to see how she goes, and I think the opportunity for her to rewrite that PB is there, providing that Nigel has kind of playing ball and has settled down.
Yeah, absolutely. And then the other leading entry that we got in the women's race, we've obviously got the on-professional Amy Eloise Neal, runs from Wakefield. She's run 32.35 at best. She's run 32.40 this year. Mm-hmm. 2021 Olympian over the 5K. She was the European Indoor 3K champ 2021. She ran 32.39 in Altrincham, which is a very hilly course for anyone that's run it, so you know that that's a solid time. She'll be up there.
She will.
I think she's had some good results this year.
Yeah.
It's just whether she can challenge for the win.
Yeah.
I'm not going to write her off. She's an Olympian.
Yeah, absolutely. I think we're right to mention her for sure. And it's also worth knowing there is a £500 prize for anyone who can beat the course record.
Which stands at?
That is Jess Judds from 2022 and 31.18. So it's a big ask.
It's hard, that, isn't it?
It's
but
a then
they're
ask.
In with the men, aren't they?
But...
Like,
yeah.
They're women with their men, so like...
So if anyone can
get
do
dragged
it,
around.
Yeah, knowing 500 quid's there to soften the blow of Christmas.
That's nice, yeah, that's a few prizes. That's a few pints, that is.
It is, it's a nice little incentive, as well as good cash prizes anyway, from 1st to 10th, I think it is.
Yeah, they pay all the way down to 10th. You've got, obviously, there's the series points as well. So, for example, like Kirsty Longley, who's run, she's running Ribble Valley. She's run a load of the top flights, and she'll want to... can you know continue winning the points that she can go home with the cash prize. But yeah, they've got course record prizes, they've got I think they've got cash prizes for every type of record you can possibly imagine, and then obviously yeah they pay all the way down to 10th. But yeah, Top Flight done brilliant in terms of bringing like that sub-elite athletics and sub-elite races back into the forefront, sort of up there with podium and what we see, but doing it on the road consistently. I think it's brilliant, and I think like I say, like this is the first year of Top Flight.
Yeah,
you know, first year of anything you do is the worst. Look at this podcast. No, I'm joking. This podcast is amazing. But the first year of whatever you do in terms of an experiment or a project is always the worst, because that's where you learn and you've got to, you know, make your mistakes. But the fact that they're getting to the last race of their year and they've got these athletes lined up says everything you need to see with the direction it's going, I think.
Yeah, and I think it's great as well to see that athletes aren't looking at things and going, like, oh, I need something faster than that. I need something better than that. These athletes are flocking to these races, whether it's podium, Top Flight. And that's really nice to see domestically. I think it's really important, because I think we've mentioned it before, where one of the most special things about running is that you can stand on the start line with somebody that's at the top of this sport, whereas you can't go play football with Bellingham, you can't go and stand on a pitch with Jamie Vardy. Like, so I think that's really special about our sport, and the fact that these athletes kind of buy into that, and it's not even a second thought of, yeah, that's a fast 10K course, let's go do it, is fantastic. There's not an air of, well, we're above that. There's no elitism. And I think that's really nice.
I love it. Non-men's?
Yeah, so the men's, we've got quite a few in there.
There's a lot.
Personally, the one I'm looking forward to the most, just out of interest, is Jake Whiteman.
Yeah, World 1500 Meter Champ from 2022. Jake Whiteman's running a 10K.
Yeah.
He's run a 10K before. He's run 30.09.
Yeah.
Which is modest.
Yeah,
I think someone of that calibre could run a lot faster. But the 10K and the 1500, like, it's a completely different sport.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I'm so excited to see it, because I think he's got real potential over that distance. But of course, it's not what we're used to seeing him do.
No.
So he's perhaps not the fastest on paper on there.
You wouldn't want to come down a kick, though, would you?
But you wouldn't. No.
Oh, you wouldn't want to look over your shoulder.
Lethal.
Jake Whiteman on your shoulder. Yeah. Dear me.
That would be, I mean, we spoke a few episodes ago about running with fear when you're being chased.
That would be horrendous.
But my God, that would be
awful. I'll just stop.
Yeah, I think I'm trying to see later.
I'll just stop. I'll probably take a wrong turn and go, oh, I was just about to win, and then took a wrong turn.
Yeah, oh.
That's just the way it is.
Playing the course.
And then we've got another 1500 meter specialist, but maybe more 5K now, is James West out of Tonbridge. Runs out of Team New Balance Manchester. So same sponsor as Jake, but he's made a massive switch to the 5K this year. He's run 13:09, so his engine has improved massively. He's seventh in European champs over the 5K, but he's got a mad kick as well.
Yeah.
I think James could run a very, very impressive time. I think he'll surprise a few if he's fit, because I know he had a couple of injuries towards the back end of the season. If he's fit, I think he could be hard to beat.
Yeah.
Because I think he's fit. Well, he's got the 5K pedigree, and I think if he is fit enough to keep up, you know, and just keep himself there, if it comes down to the last kilometre, it's and Jake's not there, I think it's Murder, She Wrote. See you later.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see if the two of them are there at the front.
Mm.
I can't wait.
Yeah,
that's going to be fantastic.
We've also got Callum Hawkins, obviously the Scotsman. I mean, if this was Callum Hawkins of 2015 era, 2016 era,
yeah,
or whenever his prime was around that time, it would be, I think that would be, I don't think anyone would live with him because he's run 28:02.
Yeah, no, I think that would be, yeah, absolutely. I think you're right.
But he ran 2:15 in New York, not that long back. And a big run. He won the Great Scottish Run. So he's going all right. Like, I think he's going well.
Yeah, absolutely. He'll be up there, I reckon. Again. Yeah, I think he's just got to wait for it to click again. And, I mean, you never know. Could be the best way for him to round out 2024.
Yeah, for sure. We've got the series leader of Top Flight, who just basically does top flights and just wins them all, Omar Ahmed. He won the Fulham 10K in 28:59, I think it was. Mm-hmm. He's been smashing up the Top Flight series. He's been making all of the he's been taking all of the cash prizes, but he's winning them impressively. He's not just jogging around and sitting and kicking, he is running them in like 29 flat. So at the end of the day, if this race is a 29-minute race, he's gonna be there. He likes to go out hard, he goes out super, super hard, and he will test these boys. I don't think I know he hasn't got the gears of the James West and the Jake Whitemans, but he will make it a hard run race.
Yes, he'll make it honest from the start, won't he? And I think
got to be a podium, something else in and around there.
Yeah,
surely.
And I wonder how that will impact James West and Jake Whiteman, because they'll want to maybe not have it quite so intense from the get-go.
Yep.
So, yeah, we've got different things that would suit different athletes in there. And I think it's going to be brilliant.
And three other athletes I want to talk about in the men's. And I'll sort of rank them in level of my excitement. Adam Craig, running out of Inverclyde, used to run for Team New Balance Manchester. He's run 28:32 at best. He's making a bit of a comeback. He hasn't got any results from this year. He ran a 2:13 marathon in 2022. So he's very, very good runner. But he's had a lot of injuries, stress fractures. And I don't know if this is his comeback race, but if he's in shape, he could be in with a shout at the podium. Callum Johnson from Gateshead, he's running. He ran really well at Liverpool. Didn't make the European cross team. I think he was first reserve.
Mm-hmm.
That was quite a shame for him. I know that he'd worked super hard to do that. Last year, ran a 10K PB and a 2:13 marathon. And then Johnny Mellor. Johnny Mellor's running.
Yeah.
2:09 marathon runner from Seville.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's got the gears at this distance against these boys, but he'll be there.
He will. He'll give it everything.
He'll make it a hard race for these lads. He's 28:30 guy at best, so he's gonna try and burn off the 29-minute runners and hope that no one's in 28:30 sub shape. So
yeah,
he'll be there. But the men's and the women's race for this Top Flight finale is stacked. You can watch it live on Run Through TV YouTube channel, and follow Trackster for our previews. We've got our preview post coming out, and we'll make sure that we post all the results as well. So it's gonna be a stormer.
It absolutely is. And what a way to end the year.
What a way to end the year, for sure. So with Christmas coming up, Rosie, we've got our Christmas wish list, guys. So we're going to talk about not just, obviously, the best sore kit that you can get, but we also want to talk about what you wish for in the next year of track and field and athletics. So that could be an event. It could be a potential result, a breakthrough performance. Is there an athlete you'd like to see do well? What do you reckon?
So there's a few that I thought of, kind of, I think, instinctively, straight away, especially off the back of Spotty last night, you've got to think about Keely's 800 metres.
Yeah.
And we want to see that world record. She said that she thinks she's close.
Yeah.
She wants it. She's openly said a few times she wants it this year. So that's something I'm really excited for. And as well, in athletics news this week, it's Alex Yee in the marathon.
Mm.
I'm really excited to see how he does over there.
London.
I think he's timed it really well in the cycle. Obviously, that's not by accident that he's done it this year when the Olympic cycle's just restarting.
Yeah.
But I'm excited nonetheless. I think he's a really lovable character.
You reckon he could go near the British record?
I don't know.
Because I think it's easy to say, oh, he won 2.7 or 2.8.
He's a runner first and foremost, isn't he? So
it's the marathon, and like as we've seen it time and time again, that the debut is sometimes the hardest one. There was a lot of talk on social media this week, like, what do you reckon he'll run? People were messaging me, and like, I think he'll run 2.8 high. I just think he's good enough. I mean,
because he's such a grafter.
And he's so fit.
You can't put anything past him. Obviously, the marathon is such a different ball game. No one knows how they'll fare until they do it. I think that's the thing, is we can look and we can predict, but ultimately, it's such a test.
He just looks so economical, doesn't he?
He does. He just glides.
He just makes the running look so easy.
He does.
Like, it's almost like you feel like he's built for the marathon.
Yeah.
Like, when he's done, like, the road relays in the past. And, like, we've not even seen him in the half marathon.
No.
Do you know what I mean? Like, we don't really know.
There's so many unknowns with this.
It's a 10K, really. Yeah.
So, I'm really excited for that. Really excited. But the other thing is the Grand Slam track. I'm just intrigued. I don't really know what I'm expecting from it. I don't really know what I want to see from it. I'm just so excited to see how it does take shape and kind of how that goes, really.
Yeah.
And, yeah, then the only other person that I could think of, really, is George Bell. I just want to see more success for her. I think she's great. I've loved watching her story.
Can she take the mantle this year from Kipyegon? She weren't far off.
I mean, I'm not going to say no.
I mean, it's like, she put a post the other day on Instagram. It was like her first year of a pro athlete.
Yeah, exactly.
And they say, like, the first year is the hardest.
Yeah, I mean, we've said earlier, the first year is the worst at anything you do.
Could she go sub 350?
So what could she do this year? She was fourth in the world this year for the times ran. She ran the fourth best this season in the world. So nothing's out of reach of her. And I think it would be, I'm so excited just to see where that goes. And I think she's riding so high on the success that she's had this year that her passion and enjoyment and excitement for the sport is going to come radiating through that. And I think that's the most important thing, is if you can see an athlete is loving their running, they're going to do well.
Yeah, I agree.
And I think she is in a prime position for that.
I agree.
The next season.
I've also got here Grand Slam track. I want it to be a success. I really want it to be. I would love, like, this is a wish list, right? So, like, you know, imagine all the stars aligned, but I would just love it to transcend the sport.
Yeah.
I don't think it will, but I really want it to. And I really hope it transcends the sport and it's a massive success. I mean, Michael Johnson, I love Michael Johnson. I think he's just so great as an athlete and the commentator and a pundit, and great for the sport. I think he's brilliant on social media as well. He says what he thinks, and I think that's great for the sport. Obviously, they've got mad funding behind it. They've got a billionaire on their board. I can't remember the fella's name, but yeah, they have a billionaire friend of Michael Johnson's on the board, so they're not short of cash, which is also always useful.
That is a pretty big thing.
It is, yeah. And I just hope it doesn't... This might sound harsh, but I just hope it doesn't turn into a gimmick.
Yeah.
And I mean that because I saw the marketing of the Grand Slam track. And the early marketing of it, I was like, this is cool.
Mm.
This is sick. This is like giving me like basketball NBA vibes. Like, this is really cool. Like, I want to go to watch this. And then more recently, I don't know. It's just giving me a little bit more of the ick, a little bit. Not too much, not like mad ick, but like a little bit like, that's a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know. But like I say, I might be, hopefully I'm proved wrong. I mean, at the end of the day, you don't know how something's going to be until the gun goes.
Absolutely. I think, yeah, none of us have a crystal ball.
No.
I think my biggest hope for Grand Slam is I think it's got the potential to succeed.
It's got the athletes, isn't it?
Most definitely, yeah. I mean, it's got the makings of it to be absolutely brilliant.
Yeah.
I think the biggest kind of barrier that I can see is the uproar that it's going to cause with field events being included.
Yeah.
And I personally would love to see field events being run kind of alongside it as a parallel. It doesn't have to be the same event, but as a parallel kind of Grand Slam track and Grand Slam field. Why does it have to be? It doesn't have to be Grand Slam track and field, but we could have two kind of parallel things going, and I think that could be really cool. And probably it won't happen this year. It could be something that happens 2, 3, 4 years down the line. But I think that could be the best way for it to evolve if it's a success this year.
So to conclude the episode, Rosie, and 2024.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a little bit sad and emotional, isn't it? But I suppose you've got to look at the positives. You know, we're going into a new year, new me. Christmas training. Yeah, true. That's true. Christmas training.
Yeah.
My question for you is that obviously there's a lot of taboo around Christmas training.
There is.
You've got the whole what was it, Sebco, Steve Ovett. Oh, I went out three times on that day.
Yeah, the classic back in my story. Day,
winters were colder, weather was what, wind was heavier. Oh, I'll have a day off. But do you run on Christmas Day?
Usually, yes.
Why usually? However, because... it's Christmas Eve's been.
See, to me, Christmas, it only comes around once a year. And I...
Oh, thanks for clearing that.
Yeah, obviously. Captain Obvious. But if it only comes around once a year,
yeah,
why be hard on yourself?
It's true.
So my logic is, I always strip it right back to basics at Christmas.
Mm.
Do you want to go out for a run?
Mm.
Is it something you're going to go and enjoy, or yeah, are you forcing yourself out? If you're forcing yourself out, maybe reconsider, because it's supposed to be an enjoyable time of year.
Yeah.
And a couple of days over Christmas Eve to Boxing Day,
yeah,
it's not going to make a difference.
No, it's not.
Enjoy yourself. Be 100%. Kind to yourself and be adaptable with what you're doing. If you've not got the time that you would normally have, be adaptable. Find something fun to do with it. If you've not got 2 hours to go do your long run, go do half an hour on the hills.
Yeah, you exactly. know? I like that about Christmas. And I think, like, flip side of that, if you are going to get out on Christmas Day, like, I love it when, obviously, people, like, families that love running or they're active, like, they all get into it. But, like, it is a good opportunity to, like, involve the family a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
You
know,
you've got more people around your house generally on Christmas morning. Like, park runs on Christmas. A lot of people go and do park run as a family. Or, yeah, go and do, like, a club hill session that maybe is put on, especially for Christmas Day. I think it's a great opportunity to, like, run with your family that you may not normally do.
Yeah.
Like, so, yeah, Christmas Day, I'll run part run with my mum.
Mm-hmm.
But I won't run with her for the other 364 days.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. So
it's class.
Yeah, I went for a run with my mum a couple of years ago. And she's like, Rosie, we've not run together since you were about 9. Yeah, this is amazing.
Mum, you suck. You're so slow, bruv. Your Strava's honking. I'm joking. Rosie's mum, I'm sorry, I'm winding you up. You'll drop her.
Yeah, I mean... I'm not gonna out myself. But no, so it was really nice, and it was nice. I took it nice and chill, and we were able to go and have a nice run. And we didn't go overly far. I think we did 3 or 4 miles, really chill. And it just gave us something nice to do together, which we haven't done for several years. This year, we're hopefully gonna go for a long run.
Ooh. As a family.
Well, so it'll be me, my mum, and my housemate, and one of my best mates is coming up to stay with us for Christmas.
Oh,
so we're
mega.
Gonna go for a long run, hopefully, in the morning. Yeah. Who out of the three of us joins it? It might just be me and my housemate. It might be all three of us. I don't know.
Will you wear Christmas attire on the run? Like a hat or a bit of tinsel maybe?
I will.
Is that a thing?
Probably wear this. Yeah, because this is very festive, my red.
Yeah,
I don't think I have anything overly Christmassy. No. Otherwise, I would.
Because some people, when I go park run,
I have seen people with like tinsel tied in their hair. And
it's a bit mad, really.
Might be a bit annoying. If I could hear it rustling, it'd probably do my head in a little bit. But yeah, we'll just go for a long run, do whatever we find enjoyable.
Yeah.
If I'm going to go for a run on Christmas Day, it's because I want to, not because I feel I should.
Okay.
And I think that's something that you have to remind yourself of. I think runners are really good at making themselves feel guilty. We all have that tendency. And if I want chocolate for breakfast on Christmas Day, I'm going to have chocolate for breakfast on Christmas Day.
I was chatting about this. Yeah. I was chatting about this to someone yesterday, and I was saying that, I was coaching last night on the track, and it was the last track session, obviously, of the year. So we were like, you know, Merry Christmas, everyone, blah, 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 see you in the new year. And I was walking to the pub, and I was like, I love Christmas, man. He was like, do you? I was like, yeah, just, well, it's just great, isn't it? You just eat and get pissed.
Anything goes, isn't it? Yeah.
I was like, you know, 10 o'clock in the morning, I'll have a mince pie.
Yeah, exactly.
4 o'clock in the afternoon, I'll make a turkey sandwich and dip it in gravy.
Yeah,
I just love it. It's just so unhinged, isn't it? There's just no... There's no judgment. I love it.
Exactly. And that's why when it only comes around once a year, we make the most of it.
Yeah.
So go and have fun with your training. But if you don't feel like it, just enjoy the festive period, because realistically, if you really extend it, you're looking at what, a week?
Yeah.
You're not going to lose any fitness in a week. Maybe 10 days. Like that's physiologically when we start looking at it.
Yeah.
But just go out, enjoy yourself, do whatever fits in with your Christmas schedule and have fun.
Mm.
Go do it with your friends, with your family. Do it with people that you maybe wouldn't necessarily see normally.
Yeah, exactly.
Use it as a reason to go and catch up with people.
Yeah.
It can be social.
Mm.
And I think that's the key to it, is if you enjoy it, go have fun.
So that concludes today's podcast. Thank you for joining us for the Tractor Podcast. Also, thanks for tuning in this year. I really appreciate the support. Obviously, we've taken our podcast from audio to video. Hopefully you've enjoyed the slightly different format. Hopefully you've enjoyed the content that we've been bringing you. It's gonna be a massive year next year. We've obviously got world champs and so much to look forward to. And if you're not already a subscriber, please do subscribe. And if you are listening on any of the major platforms like Spotify or Apple, please do leave us a review, because it goes so far to getting this podcast out there. But we will see you in 2025. I'm going for a mince pie.
Why is life better with American Family Insurance? Because every policy comes with something very special. A trusted agent who's there to help protect your dreams by finding the right coverage at the right price. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.